And you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Tuesday, January the 20th. No, you're not listening to it because we're not on the air. But maybe you are if you are listening in the sense of streaming. And they're fixing the tower today. So all these phone calls coming in saying, we're off the air, we're off the air. Yeah, we know that. But you can still hear us streaming by going to KFUO.org. And right now, boy, I've got a real treat for you. You know, we were going to be hearing from Mark Smith, but we don't have to right now because we got Joni and Mary back. Hi, Joni.
Hi, how are you today, Tom?
Very good.
We just came in. We're actually not going to do thank yous this morning since we're not on the air on the radio, but we are on the internet. But we just wanted to again encourage our listeners as part of our 90th anniversary celebration to help support KFUO. You, our listeners, partner with KFUO in proclaiming the gospel message around the world. And not only during our 90th anniversary, but anytime you can support us, but especially now, as we thank God for these 90 years that He has let us be part of this work and ministry. So you could call Mary or myself.
You can call me, Mary, at 314-996-1518.
Or I'm Joni Harwell at 996-1512. Again, Mary, tell people about some of the reasons why people have donated.
Well, a lot of people have given in memory of loved ones, people who have passed away, who've meant a lot to them, grandparents, parents, children. They've also given in honor of people who are still here, but who are celebrating anniversaries or birthdays or baptisms. We've had quite a few.
We have had a number of gifts, and we've had them come in from, I think, every state in the United States. So we have listeners all over the United States. We've had a gift come in from someone in India. And so anywhere around the world, we encourage you to become a partner with us. It's not just, you know, the staff here at KFUO who is part of KFUO, but it is every listener out there and supporter. And that could be a financial support or it could be prayerful support, because we know that God hears those prayers and uses those prayers to bless us. And we thank you for all that you've done for us. We encourage you to support the work and ministry of KFUO.
You want to know how efficient you are and how good you guys are? What if I could hand you a check right now?
Oh, we would be very happy.
Well, all I do is I move my hand over here.
And we have a check today. Thank you.
From Pastor Mark Smith.
Well, thank you so much. That is right on. That's right on the spot.
And I hope you can use the 25 cents wherever it's possible.
And once again, we do continue to have our KFUO 90th anniversary t-shirts. And if you would like to receive one of those, we've asked for a donation of $90. But if $90 is too much and you would just like the t-shirt, the cost of the t-shirt is $15. So we encourage you, please partner with us, become a KFUO supporter.
Yes, Pastor Mark Smith, really appreciate you gave him a t-shirt, and we just didn't think you had XXX, but you did, so.
Oh, Tom, what will we do with you?
Well, I need a XXXX. Thank you very much, Joni and Mary. And,
thank you.
Tomorrow you may be back.
We will be back
because,
tomorrow.
Because hopefully the tower will be fixed by then.
Yes.
So.
And we will be announcing some more names tomorrow of people who have given gifts to KFUO. And thank you again, Pastor Smith.
Yeah, the only thing I'm just a little concerned about, why they put the mic so high on the tower that I have to use tomorrow. So I would prefer to stay in the station. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Pastor Mark Smith, you know what we're going to be listening to today is Son of God, Eternal Savior. And
oh, it's a beautiful hymn.
Yeah, so let's see if we can hear it.
Heavenly Father, graciously hear us.
They put the microphone up on the tower for you, Tom, because you can't even get the right hymn.
It says, Son of God, Eternal Savior, by the plain people, and they really must be plain.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful hymn, Son of God, Eternal Savior.
Yes. It's good we're not on the air. No, you'd be surprised how many people. My program, there are a number who listen live, and of course we're not live in St. Louis because the tower is being fixed, but the majority of people actually download our programs afterwards, and there's a number of ways that can be done. Just go to KFUO.org. Son of God, Eternal Savior, the real hymn here. Who wrote it?
Let's see. Somerset Laurie.
Yes. Died in 1932.
Yeah. Great hymn. I love the melody. And
you using it this Sunday? Because it's
probably
for this Sunday.
Yeah, I usually try to use the hymn of the day.
That's good. Can you go ahead and read the first stanza, please?
Son of God, Eternal Savior, source of life and truth and grace, Word made flesh, whose birth among us hallows all our human race. You, our head, who throned in glory, for your own will ever plead. Fill us with your love and pity, heal our wrongs, and help our need.
Yes, the very first phrase, Son of God, Eternal Savior. I don't know if you heard this, but they discovered another manuscript of Mark.
No kidding, just recently?
Absolutely. In fact, I just heard about it on Friday, and my wife went to the Bible study at St. Paul de Pere where James Veltz.
I'll bet Jim Veltz was excited.
He spent
about
the whole time on it.
I'll bet he did.
They haven't seen, but you'll never guess where they found it. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It was in Egypt. And when they do mummies, they wrap their faces in papyri.
Right. Right.
And they found this mummy, and it was pretty well preserved. And when they began to unwrap the face, it was the Gospel of Mark.
Well, it makes you wonder if that mummy was a Christian.
I don't know. I mean,
well, there's no way of knowing, but isn't that interesting they chose the book of Mark to cover his face?
Well, we don't know if they did or not. It could have been just paper lying around or something, and they had to use it. But
well, I don't know. The fact that they had that covering his face, to me, that... I don't know. That's pretty neat.
We're going to have to wait until people who know what they're talking about, you know, tell us.
Right.
You know, what the practice was.
Do they know what type of condition the text is?
Nothing.
I haven't heard a word. I'm sure they'll be studying years that text, that copy.
According to what I heard, the latest Mark document was 50 years after it supposedly been written. This one is only 40 years.
Oh, so it's earlier yet.
10 years early, yes.
Really?
And people are really getting excited because the Gospel of Mark, you know, talks about Jesus as Son of God.
Right.
And, of course, as Savior.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, that ending, Mark 16.
Everybody's asking that, yes. Yeah. And Dr. Veltz didn't have an answer at that point, but... Boy, he's head of the big Mark scholarship. In fact, they're using his book this year, and these are scholars from Europe all over the place, as their agenda when they meet. So I didn't realize, I don't know if every book of the Bible has a group of scholars, but Mark does. And it's really kind of interesting. It'd be good to have Jim on the air to explain it once he gets to know more about it, because... I'm sure issues, etc., will try and get him. But when I was reading this, Son of God, Eternal Savior, the kick I'm on right now is how ambiguous is Jesus as the Son of God, Eternal Savior. He just doesn't fit what people were expecting. In fact, that's why he got crucified. Whoever thought, look at Nathaniel, can anything good
come out of Nazareth?
Yes. And then he was a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Son of God.
Yeah.
There are so many ambiguous things. He doesn't know when the last day is, in a state of humiliation. He is surprised when people are unable to be converted in his town of Nazareth. It's just really interesting. All his disciples leave him. And so the only way we know who he truly is not just by reading about him, but by reading the word about him. Son of God, eternal Savior. Now, why do we say eternal Savior? Have you ever thought about that?
Well, he is. He's eternal. We know that. But salvation, eternal Savior.
Yeah, you would think there would be no need for a Savior when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden prior to their fall into sin.
Eternal. Well, is it describing his salvation, or is it describing the fact that who he is?
You know, that's an excellent point. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Nothing was created except by the Word.
Right.
In other words, if you understand the term Savior to be that which we are totally dependent upon for our life, then one can say that even at creation, he was one with the cooperation of the Father and the Holy Spirit.
It was an eternal plan.
That's right, who brought people into it. And that's the other point that's excellent, that the eternal plan was from before the foundation of the world.
Yeah. I'll tell you a concept that's hard to wrap your head around is eternally begotten. You try to explain that to your Bible class. What does eternally begotten mean?
Yes. What these concepts are, and what's the Holy Spirit one? What's the verb they use?
Proceeding. Yes. From the Father and the Son.
Yeah, and the Son.
You know, I'll tell you, I suggest an excellent study for you on this. We are studying now the topic of the triune God with the Lifelight series.
Yes, yes.
And it is excellent. I mean, there's some concepts there that, you know, you don't always think about.
No, no.
And it
that's
really
what makes a good
helps
Bible study.
Crystallizing your understanding of the Trinity, if that fully can't fully be comprehended, but it is an excellent study. I would recommend it.
Do you recall who wrote it? Wasn't
you know? I usually check that out.
Yeah, it wasn't John Charlemagne, was it?
I don't think so.
Because he writes some of them,
yeah,
and he's
yes.
just excellent. But yeah, Lifelight. And by the way, if somebody wanted to attend your study, when is it?
Our Lifelight study is every Thursday from 10:30 to noon. 10:30 to noon, unless there's snow, that kind of thing. But 10:30 to noon.
Then what
every
is
Thursday.
It? 10:30 to 3?
No, 10:30 to noon is it.
Unless there's snow.
No.
Then
we cancel it.
Oh, then you cancel
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we'll meet for several more. We meet until Lent, and then we break for Lent, and then we come back probably for about three more sessions in the spring.
Now, New York was to have 20 inches today. They got 4.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Didn't even snow overnight.
Long Island got a lot of it, though.
Yes. Well, I'm just a little concerned. I'm doing a seminar at Emmanuel Olivet on February the 21st. That's a Saturday. And if we have to cancel it, people will get their money back and such, and we'll put it on another date. But in the meantime, if you'd like to know more about that and register for the seminar, it's at lawandgospel101.com/seminars.
What's the title of the seminar, Tom?
Law and Gospel.
Oh,
yeah.
How did you ever think of that theme?
I thought I needed to find something original. No, each one it has a different theme. And this one, the theme specifically for it, how can you be assured that you are going to heaven? And we're going to talk about that.
The Lord's Supper.
From a Law and Gospel point of view. And we're not going to give any answers out or anything ahead of time because I don't want to show how you are wrong in that.
Okay.
But be that as it may. But we're going to...
The answer is the Lord's Supper.
No,
it's
not.
Save your money.
No, it really isn't. And so I don't want to embarrass you in front of everyone. You're lucky we're not on the air today because you'd be in trouble. But we're going to have videos. And anybody who... It's $20 for a person, adult, and $15 for youth. But you get a free book, up to $17 with that book. So, Son of God, Eternal Savior, looking at this first stanza, I think he's eternal because what follows right after it, Source of Life.
Yes.
See, that's how... That's what
everything
I meant by...
Everything that was made by
yes.
him.
Word made flesh. Now, he's not eternally human.
Right. That's
yeah.
Interesting point.
When the fullness of time came, you know, God brought forth his son born of a woman, born under the law. Yes.
He's true God and true man for all eternity now. That will never change.
Yes. But it's an eternity that's not normally describing God, but rather angels and human beings. We are not...
We're sepeternal, right?
Very good.
Sepeternal.
Well,
we have a beginning, but we live throughout eternity.
Yeah. There is a time when we were not.
That's right.
Yes. For him to be eternally human being means from the point of the incarnation on.
Right.
That's really quite significant.
Right.
So, eternal Savior hallows all our human race. What's the word hallow? You got to explain
make
that
holy.
To a kid. Yes.
Make holy.
But if all of the human race is hallowed, how come everybody doesn't go to heaven?
I don't know. You'll have to ask the hymn writer.
That's what the seminar is about.
Okay. Well, you know, yeah. Okay.
No, it's the difference between
objective. Well, he certainly atoned everybody.
It's the difference between objective and subjective.
That's right.
Explain that.
He atoned for the sins of the whole world.
Yes.
And all people who have ever lived or ever will have. He atoned for everybody.
Yes.
But only those that believe in him are finally saved.
Right. So being declared holy, I like that Corinthians passage, that he's already reconciled with the whole world, not just with the elect.
Right.
It's a big difference between us and five-point Calvinists who believe that Jesus only died for the elect.
Yeah. In fact, I got a book I want to share with you. It's the book, I can't think of the name right now, but I want to share with you. The point of the book is that everybody will go to heaven. Why everybody will go to heaven? Of course, that's false.
Yes. Yeah. I appreciate you talking about my seminar. Let's go on to stanza two. As you, Lord, have lived for others, so may we for others live. Freely have your gifts been granted. Freely may your servants give. Yours the gold and yours the silver, yours the wealth of land and sea. We but stewards of your bounty held in solemn trust will be. This is an important verse. It's not about justification. It's about
sanctification.
How so?
Well, because it talks about our stewardship.
Stewardship
of his bounty. Yours the gold, yours the silver. You know, we're just stewards that are managing this. We have the privilege of managing your treasures. But it all belongs to him.
Yeah, we're going to be talking Thursday, I believe. Yes, we are. It's going to be Thursday with Wes Reimnitz. I was listening to Fox News, and there's a lot of people against this sniper movie.
Yes.
And they came out and they said, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus be a sniper shooting people in the back? And, of course, everybody there, I don't want to get into it right now, but everybody there said no. And we're going to be talking about why Jesus would have made a good sniper. That's Thursday.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
You're going to just drop that?
That's right.
And let that go?
That's right. Yep. I'm going to just drop it.
It's a good thing we aren't on the air today.
That's right. Okay. Here's the motivation. As you, Lord, have lived for others, so may we for others live. Now, the fact that our living for others doesn't save us is clear from the next line. What does it say?
Freely have your gifts been granted.
That's right. It's not on the basis of our love to others that we get his gifts.
Yeah. Salvation is an absolutely free gift.
And therefore we're saved by
grace,
yes,
through faith in Christ.
And that's right. And so excellent understanding of the distinction between law and gospel. And you brought up the other parts. Stanza three, please.
Come, O Christ, and reign among us, King of love and Prince of peace. Hush the storm of strife and passion, bid its cruel discord cease. By your patient years of toiling, by your silent hours of pain, quench our fevered thirst of pleasure, stem our selfish greed of gain. What great words, I'll tell you.
Yes. What's this reign among us? How does he do that?
Well, he reigns among us, but it's under the cross.
Right.
You know, it's not a kingdom of glory, not yet. But he
don't we refer to it as the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven?
Right.
We talked about this. I was on yesterday's Issues, etc., doing the Sunday school lesson about the little children coming to Jesus. And he talks about, for of such is the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And the point that needs to be made there is when most people think of the kingdom of God, they think of a place.
Like heaven, paradise.
No, I would disagree that those are places.
Okay.
In what's being said there, like if you say the kingdom of Mongolia, then you would be considering the country. But more to the point is how we understand Queen Elizabeth. Remember, Britannica rules everywhere.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter.
It used to.
If one of her, no, it still does. If her subject is on a ship in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and a crime occurs, she has authority because they're in her kingdom. So the word kingdom in British thinking doesn't refer to a place. It refers to a ruling over type of thing.
It's kind of like Air Force One. Air Force One could be whatever plane the president's on.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's what I understand, is that whatever plane he's on, that is Air Force One.
Yeah, it would make sense in the sense that, so if the one that has Air Force One on the fuselage is down for something, then he would have to take a different plane. Is that true about when he's in a helicopter, that's called Air Force One?
You bring up an interesting question.
Yeah, what has this got to do with him? But, no, it has a lot, because you're making the point that the Air Force One isn't any locality. It's wherever the president is, which is a very good one. The kingdom of heaven is not a locality. It's where God is. And so when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, what he's ushering in is the kingdom that rules in the hearts of people. Remember that Christ is in us and the Holy Spirit is guiding us. So I think that's a good point that you're making, that the kingdom of heaven is God's rule in us. And therefore, when we do a good work, that doesn't save anybody. But what God looks for is not good works done by us, but fruit.
Fruit of the Spirit.
Yes. And so how can you tell the difference? What's the difference between a good work and a fruit of the Holy Spirit?
It's done in faith.
Yes. Motivation.
That's right.
Motivation is the only difference. And that's why an unbeliever can never do a fruit of the Holy Spirit, because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit.
That's why it says without faith it is impossible to please God.
Well said. In other words, every work, no matter how good it seems to us by an unbeliever,
it may be in the eyes of the world a wonderful work,
but it's always out of self-interest in the eyes of God. Nobody is capable of doing a truly good work out of interest of others. Now, some people will say, well, look, you'll have a mother or father jump into the ocean if they see their children drowning and they're willing to lose their life to save their child. But upon further examination, that's really out of self-interest. They don't want to lose their child, and so therefore they're willing to do what we think is something sacrificial, when in reality it's really out of self-interest.
So you're saying that it is impossible for someone who is not in faith to do something really sacrificial? I don't know about that.
No, I didn't say sacrificial. Okay. I said not out of self-interest.
Okay.
It may seem to be a sacrifice. Like, for example, what is it, two cities, during the French Revolution?
Tale of Two Cities.
Yeah, where the
Paris and
one
London.
Boyfriend was willing to switch with the other guy because she loved the other guy more.
Right.
You know, but that was, again, out of self-interest. Yeah, it made him feel good. You talk to unbelievers. Why do they give money to hospitals? And they'll tell you, makes me feel good about myself. Whereas...
And even believers... are tainted by that
feeling. No. The old Adam never gives properly.
Well, don't even believers...
that's what I'm saying.
Our works of righteousness are like filthy rags,
yeah,
really.
Even the old Adam never gives properly.
That's right.
Let me go ahead and read
the
last stanza.
Read the fourth one?
Yes, please.
Son of God, eternal Savior, source of life and truth and grace, Word made flesh, whose birth among us hallows all our human race, by your praying, by your willing, that your people should be one. Grant, O grant our hope's fruition. Here on earth, your will be done.
Now,
beautiful words.
We don't have to go too much into this for the simple reason that
it's been repeated.
It's the same as the first stanza, except at the end, that your people should be one. Explain this. Grant, O grant our hope's fruition. What's that talking about?
That our hopes are fulfilled.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent. When can they hear you preach?
Sunday morning, of course, 9 a.m. Sunday morning at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. Or if you can't make Sunday morning service, we have a 5 o'clock service Saturday evening. 5 o'clock, and that's Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, 8646 New Sappington Road. We're just south of the Watson-New Sappington intersection. Join us. We'd love to have you.
Okay, and thank you, Pastor Mark Smith. Tomorrow, hopefully, we'll be back on the air with the towers and such. In the meantime, we're going to be doing an insight on you don't get the promotion you thought you deserved. You go to your pastor. Does he give you law or gospel? It's tomorrow's Law and Gospel. God bless.
KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.